Okay, guys, welcome to another episode. Babe, here we go again.
I know, it's been a while. Too long.
I know.
We always say that, though.
Okay, we
do have something important
missing.
To say. We say it, so
yeah,
here
but there
we
is an episode missing. The last episode was supposed to be on
Bitcoin.
No, you keep saying that, financial wellness. Because we always talk about this.
No,
wellness, that
you said to me, we are not talking about financial wellness. We are talking about Bitcoin.
Okay.
Get it right. Mr.
There's nothing else to talk about.
You're right. I agree.
We owe everybody one. We'll do that as the next one.
Okay, so these voices that you're hearing, you're Dr. Costa, Laugh, we're Tony, they're on board. So we're talking about physiology today. And I think there's a tagline, Dr. Costa, that I've heard you say fix your physiology, fix your
life.
I love that tagline. Yeah. So I don't understand physiology. So we're going to take this from first principle. So what we have, we're launching today, is this VitaNew test.
Mm-hmm.
So the VitaNew experts are here. So Tony, people know Tony. Tony, you've been on our podcast before. You're a biohacker. You, the lady behind our lion's mane, our collagen, our daikon radish, et cetera. And here you go again.
Here I go
doing
again.
Doing your Tony thing, which is so welcome back.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. And then Dr. Costa, you know, we really want you to unpack this from a kind of a medical perspective, but I'm going to be the layman on the podcast today.
I think me too, yeah. in a way.
No, but I'm like really going to be the layman. Because when we launched this thing and we sort of internally looked at it and I did my tests and I was blown away.
Yeah.
By what it told me. But the stuff that it told me sounded amazing. But like I'm still blown away, but I'm not too sure what I was blown away by. And then I kind of fed it into AI and I asked AI to give me some, and it's astonishing.
Yeah.
And it's a thing that measures something that we have never been able to sort of measure before in a way. And we'll get to that.
Not in such a portable way.
We do a lot of things. Like if you take a look at the business, right? You do blood tests with Carly. You do eating plans with Carly. We do DNA testing. We do DNA health. We do a DNA diet, et cetera.
Nutrition intervention and exercise intervention.
So we're kind of terming this closing the circle.
Yes.
Right.
And it's been actually something I've been dreaming of for a long time. Mm. So when Tony and I had our first conversation about it was like, no ways. Like my prayers have been answered here because we weren't able to help people enough from a mental health stress resilience point of view. Mm. And that is something that, you know, when you tell somebody or you ask somebody, how do they feel? You know, they tell you, I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling busy. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I've got brain fog. I'm tired. I don't know why. I wake up tired. I go to bed tired and wired, but I can't fall asleep. So they had all of this like physiological distress all the time. And then you have your interventions and then you can ask your client, you know, 2 months down the line, how do you feel?
I'm
feeling better, like definitely feeling better. You know, I'm feeling like I can cope more. I'm able to fall asleep better. And obviously we intervene with lion's mane and exercise and diet and all that. But there was no test for it, like data. It was always just, how do you feel? Mm. So, it's, you know, do you feel great? Do you feel better? Can you cope better? So it was just a lot of feelings and hoping that the client can kind of unpack that for you. And if the client's happy, then you move on. Client feels more balanced. Client feels more in control.
Well, we do all those interventions to try and feel better, but what does feel better mean?
Yes.
That's it.
The only way you can feel better is if your physiology actually changed.
Yeah, but so that's the thing. I wanted it to be more scientific. This is the first time that we've been able to measure that feeling. That feeling isn't just a feeling. It's actually a physiological feeling.
It's actually quite amazing. I mean, today, the science and health is really like it's sort of caught up. It's like the best time to ever be alive.
It is.
I mean, from a DNA perspective, we can really unpack. I mean, look at all the DNA tests, right? DNA core, sports, diet, mind, med check, all those DNA things. And those things tell you what you're genetically predisposed to.
Yeah.
But this kind of closes the circle on like what's your lifestyle doing to you, right? And
now. And also mental health. I think that's a big thing. It's over the last 5 years since COVID, there's been a huge sort of spotlight on mental well-being because I think we all took a massive knock over that time. Mm. And so I think there couldn't be a better time to launch a product like this.
Okay, cool. Let's take a step back. So we're talking about VitaNew. We got Dr. Costa. I'm gonna go into your personal journey just a second. But let's just close the gap on this closing the circle thing for me. So physiology.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
I'll ask Dr. Costa.
No. So, before we go into it, just quickly, and like, I want to get to you, but we're going into the weeds very quickly. We're going to come back out in a second. But I just like, if someone talks about, here's a test that can kind of measure your physiology and you can do something about that. What is physiology?
Versus psychology, because this weekend we did the test at home. We were practicing and Steph wanted to do his test. I was very interested to do his test and our very high-achieving middle daughter as well did her test. And Steph's like, What's the difference between like psychology and physiology? You know, surely, you know, you could just tell yourself that everything's fine. It's all about perspective, you know, so it's actually about your mental state of being. Like, are you a positive person? How you think about stress? Surely that you can change everything by the way you think about it.
Okay,
and so I'm like, wait, this is a physiological test, not a psychological emotional test.
Let's talk about that for a second. So here's my perspective, right? So I'm a layman out there. I am somebody that's very busy. I'm an executive in quite a few positions. The way I grew up was very stressful. As a kid, we were ultra poor, all that other stuff. But I feel like the way I manage stress, my psychology helps me a lot. I don't let stress. I can compartmentalize a lot of things. And the test actually came back and confirmed that.
It came up very unusual.
No, it said 6 out of 7 for stress resilience.
You're getting into the weeds.
So what we're measuring in terms of physiology, we're actually measuring psychophysiology because you cannot separate the two.
Okay, but you're going to tell me what physiology is.
Okay. So physiology is everything that happens inside your body that you cannot see. So if you're eating food and it's going into your gut and then it gets digested by acid and then goes into your colon and enzymes are there and you're absorbing your nutrients, that goes into the blood. That's all physiology. A process is happening. It's a chemical process and an electrical process that's happening in your body.
That's chemical and electrical.
Yeah. And it's like involuntary. It happens regardless kind of thing.
It's automatic. So physiology is what's happening in your body, right? But in order for your physiology to work properly, you need to feed it properly. You need to give your physiology rest because it needs to rest.
Okay, wait. You sort of lost me. I love the definitions and the way you describe it, but take a step back. What is my physiology? Is my physiology just what you described? Is it my gut, my enzymes, my blood?
Every single cell in your body is physiology happening.
And every process that happens in the body is physiology, like digestion, like
sleep.
Yes. So when you exercise and your heart rate climbs, it's all your body's response to stimulus. It's like, it's your physiology. It's stuff that you can't control. It happens automatically. It's your body. It's the way we were made.
So how does your brain fit in with that? It's a dumb question, but like, how does the brain fit in with physiology?
Well, as I said, every cell is physiology.
Right, so your brain is made up of cells.
So it's physiology. Okay. Your skin is made up of cells, that's physiology. Your eyes made up of cells, it's physiology.
Okay.
Your heart is made up of cells, it's physiology.
So when you
it's
say
it's different parts of the body and they have different aspects of physiology, but some things will be standard across the line. Mitochondria is where you produce your energy, so that's physiology. But every cell needs mitochondria to produce energy, whether it's your brain, eyes, skin, heart, doesn't matter. And there's a process in getting that energy. That's physiology.
It's fascinating. Okay, cool. So that helps me. That actually makes
you can't control it.
Right.
It happens.
But so
you can better it.
You can influence it.
Yes, you can influence it.
But now we have the capability through the test to actually measure this physiology, whether it is healthy. Stable,
optimal,
you can improve needs it. Attention.
If what we're doing, how we're exercising, what we're eating, how is that affecting our physiology?
Okay, it's good. Okay, now that.
So are we optimal?
Are we going to live
with lots of vitality?
I love that.
Are we going to be able to increase our performance? Because I think most of us can agree that we could increase our daily performance. Yeah. You know?
The dream.
You're looking
the dream.
Trust me, dude, you can.
Damn it, my wife's on the phone. I keep having to answer that.
You know what?
You can do better.
And physiology. And the principle is physiology can only run on one thing, energy.
Mm-hmm. I love that the energy, the chemicals, synthesis, the electricity. It's almost like the foundational substrate of what we are. At the end of the day, we're just like water and like electricity.
Carbon.
And a couple of cells. It's like four to six watts. And it's like the ultimate intelligence, right? So AI struggles with electricity. We 6 watts with water and flesh in a sack.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Dr. Costa, I want to hear about you. How did you who are you? I met you today and people can't really see you on the podcast, but I would not see you. If I saw you in the street, I'd definitely not say this guy's got a PhD in medicine. He's so trendy. He's got like sneakers that have like these gold caps on them. He looks
Steve
old.
Steve Jobs, trendy. Plain black shirt.
Well, 20 years ago, I would have been termed a quack.
Okay.
Because what I'm sort of advocating now, I was doing 10, 15 years ago, but nobody was ready to listen.
Right.
And I was in GP practice. And one day I got up and I just decided, you know what? This is not what I want to do. This doesn't fulfill me. Mm. Prescribing tablets to people every day, seeing them in 20 minutes, taking a history and making lots of money, but not being fulfilled. There was something more. I wanted to stop people getting headaches every day, backaches, heart attacks, or whatever it is. And what prompted this is we started a cardiac rehab many years ago, and Prof. Derman and Prof. Schwellness were involved before they were in academia, and Dr. Koenig, who was a good friend, and he was a doctor for the Springboks. And we started doing a cardiac rehab, what was then the Health and Rackets. And what we found is that, all right, we had got the patients at the end of the spectrum. I wanted them before they had heart attacks, but this is where we started. And what we found is that half the patients that had heart attacks had normal cholesterol. So that was like a wow moment for me. Mm-hmm. Why are half of them getting heart attacks if they have normal cholesterols? Something else is going on.
Right.
And that's where the journey started. Mm. And to cut a really long story short, what caused heart attacks and cancer and immune disorders is inflammation. We weren't dealing with inflammation. And it's quite easy to explain why. So if you look at an artery and it's nice and smooth and the blood flows past, chronic inflammation is like sandpaper that develops in the lining of the artery. Cholesterol then comes along and says, oh, this is not what it should be, and packs it close to make it smooth again so the blood can flow smoothly.
Right.
Obviously, if you have higher cholesterol, you'll pack more. But that's the aim, that is to pack. And the more inflammation you have, the more you pack. Mm. And the more you pack that lining, eventually it'll block up the artery and you'll have a heart attack.
So then the root cause is not the cholesterol, the root cause is the inflammation.
Absolutely.
Mm. So you go taking statins, you're doing all this stuff, but the root cause is actually not what you're addressing.
No.
Mm. Wow, fascinating.
And that's what doctors generally do. They don't look at the root cause. They just put a big fat plaster over everything and give you meds.
So Dr. Costa, where did you grow up, and what led you to medicine? And let's hear a little bit more about you.
Well, I grew up in Kimberley. I always wanted to do medicine. Mm. I knew it from a really young age. It wasn't, I didn't have to go to anybody. I knew that's just what I wanted to do. So I suppose it was a calling from then already. But I loved sport. Mm. So, and while I'm saying it, in my first matric year, I basically failed in all intents and purposes because I just wanted to play rugby and cricket and do every sport that I could. And that was a bit of a wake-up call. I need to do something. So I came to Cape Town, redid my trick and got 6 A's and eventually got into medicine at UCT. But what was interesting, you know, we grew up in Kimberley, and in those years, my folks had restaurants. And we had a small farm, and we grew our own vegetables for the restaurants. And that's why my dad and him had a really good business, and because we really cooked food. It was
from
sort
the
of from
zero.
The ground to the plate,
beautiful.
You know. And why that's important is that we don't have that anymore, you know. Yeah. And that's probably one of the biggest causes of disease is what we eat.
It's interesting because everything's just logistics.
Genetically modified.
Factories.
Modified.
And modified.
Yeah. And what does all that do?
Yeah, it's mass consumption.
Causes inflammation. You know, I looked at my grandmother and grandfather who lived in Cyprus, and my dad's parents lived in Samos. My grandfather was a heavy smoker. He was a tobacconist, and they grew tobacco. And our surname is Kapnyas, which actually means Kapnos, which is smoke.
Wow.
So that's how. So he smoked. Anyway, he died at the age of 95. Being a smoker his whole life. But what did he do? You know, he worked on the land. Mm. He ate from the land. Mm. They rested when they needed
to.
Fresh
air,
You know, there was no grounding. Work in the afternoon on the Greek islands, you know.
That's still not no work.
It's still not, you know.
They've got it right, is what I can say.
That hasn't changed.
Okay. I'm going a bit off track, but it's actually important.
Yes.
Because if you look at the blue zones where people live well, I mean, they're not doing anything magic. They're just eating off the land. They're resting when they need to rest. Mm. They have a glass of wine.
They move a lot.
And when they eat, they sit around the table. and they drink a glass of wine and they talk. Mm. And what does that do? It switches on the parasympathetic inflammation. Yeah. So if your parasympathetic is switched off and your sympathetic nervous system, and we can go a bit into detail, is then on, you have inflammation. So what these people do in the blue zones is they have very little inflammation. Mm. Why? Because they take time for their physiology to rest. Mm. It's now time to eat. So the physiology and the hormones and everything else is then sort of activated, and you do that. When you need to go and work, well, then the adrenaline comes up a little bit, and so our physiology adapts.
So now this is making it all, this is painting between the lines for me. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. So you constantly see these blue zone documentaries on Netflix.
We've watched them.
Yeah. I mean, and it's so compounded, but it seems like there's a base for everything. One is it's not produced, it's farmed.
From
so
farm to fork.
Yes. Farm to fork.
It's hands involved.
Yeah, so
movement is key.
No processed foods
quality,
whatsoever.
Qualitarians.
The Japanese one, they don't have furniture. Old people don't have furniture, so they do on average 200 or 300
more
squats.
Well, they get from the floor up to a
daily motion. They get up, so they're doing squats.
So it's like squats.
Social. You mentioned something that they're social.
Yeah,
so they have human community.
And they bend. They've got functional movement. They bend, pick up, lift up, do this. They're doing all that functional movement. And they are incredibly strong. Because they do functional movement. They don't do unilateral stuff.
Yeah.
You know, a big bicep or whatever it is. So talking about eating from farm to plate to, you know, we think we cannot do that in society today. It's wrong. We can. Mm. You know, I started just before COVID, we started wellness and sports science centers at schools. And when I was there, I looked at all this ground and I thought, why aren't we teaching kids to
plant?
We've got like 20 acres here of space. Why don't we teach kids how to
grow their own food?
Grow their own food.
Yeah. And respect food.
And get what? And then they can grow their own food and they can sell it to retailers or little health shops, whatever it is, and generate money for the
school. All the families could buy it. Yeah.
So you have all this space.
Yeah.
Mm. And we're not growing food there.
Mm. Yes, when I grew up, I remember our helpers and stuff used to eat things like morojo. Mm. Which is spinach.
Oh, yes, I know morojo. We used to eat it.
It grew at the back in the felt. She'd actually go send me and say, go pick it.
Mm.
And then they'd take it and they'd mix it up with onions and potatoes and pap and all of that. And that food was so good. That was now, it's just declared a superfood.
Yeah,
right? Spinach is a superfood. High antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we actually have it. It's nonsense that we need, that there's not enough food, you know, organic food, where you can't get it. It's too expensive. No, man, we can just grow it.
Well, it's not, if you take a look at it, where we live today, technology is dual. Technology gives us the VitaNew test, but technology adversely also gives us Checkers 6060 or Pick and Pay ASAP or Uber Eats. And the convenience factor is what we trend towards.
Now. Yeah, we're watching
Netflix, and while we watch Netflix, we just we swipe the thing, and then the thing arrives, and we're eating pizza in front of the TV in an hour. I mean that's probably the worst life. So you haven't moved, there's no incidental any movement, there's nothing, and it's just a lovely way to be. But that leads to all this inflammation.
Well, it's just faster, more. That's what we've just become. There's no slow movement anymore. Slow chewing. Sit around a table. Mm. Take an hour. I mean, we do that every night. And I kind of introduced that into our family because I did that growing up. Mm. Dinner was a spectacle. You know, we set the table. Everybody got their 2 minutes to say how their days were, highs and lows. We shared. We cried. We laughed. We did all those things. And dinner took like an hour to an hour and a half every single day. You know, and sometimes it was one or two courses. I mean, I feel very privileged saying that, but we took our time to connect as a family, to eat, to chew our food, to enjoy the meal. We rated the meal. My dad would always ask us, but would you pay for it? He would say. And if we said, not really, Dad, then he knew that wasn't a winner and he mustn't make it again. But if we were prepared to pay for it, then he wrote that one down or he made that one again. Because
we have family recipe books from their family. They self-made recipe books in our house. Okay, that's different. But I mean, again, it's food. So Dr. Gosser, you went down the medicine route, medical doctor. And I asked you this question just before we started to tell me whether this was true or not. And I've heard it anecdotally, but like doctors can study for 9 to 12 years, get their PhD, become practitioners. And in that entire time, they don't get to learn more than maybe an hour's worth of nutritional
information. I think we might have had maybe two lectures. If that.
On nutrition.
On nutrition.
That's insane. I have a doctor friend who told me that. Yeah. And I remember other people saying, that's incredible. So doctors really are just there.
Well, you're taught not to kill people first.
Right.
You know,
keep them alive.
Keep them alive.
Keep them alive.
Don't make the mistake that you're going to kill somebody. Even so we need to teach you that first.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the second thing is to then treat disease and manage disease. But we never ever taught on preventing disease.
Mm. That's incredible. So I had a discussion with a couple of people, and let me not mention names, but where we are today, we're kind of transitioning from a world where healthcare is $1.99. Where 1% used to be diagnosis and 99% was treatment. So we were really anemic on the diagnosis part and we were really heavy on the treatment part. Like healthcare insurance is all based upon $1.99. We're moving into a world where it's 99.1, where 99% of it will be real-time, AI-driven, analytical-based diagnosis that's preventative, and the treatment will be 1% hyper-personalized, hyper-targeted. Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
I mean, I take a look at these DNA tests that we're doing now. We take a look at VitaNew coming in. We're getting so much data. Then you combine it with this Garmin watch that I'm wearing, or the tracker that you wear.
The Aura ring.
And the Aura ring. And you're putting all of this data. You're kind of seeing how the eclipse is happening, where we will suddenly have all the tools,
so
all the data
power.
Sets, and then something will tell us in a preventative way, do this. And I think the VitaNew test is almost like the start of this eclipse, because now I've got stuff that's data-driven, hyper-personalized. Mm. It's my personal physiology. Yeah. Mm. It's not an aggregate of the world. And it's taking it and saying, hey, based upon the VitaNew test, based upon your DNA that I know about you, this is the
blood test.
Blood test.
Plus your questionnaire, like how do you feel? Tell us how you feel.
And all that, yeah. Mm. Okay, cool. So, I mean, it's incredible. We're fast-forwarding and rewinding all the time. Mm. So you got in medicine and your whole conviction around this VitaNew test, which I want to bring Tony in for a second, but how did this develop? How did you find this VitaNew test? Did you invent it? So give us the background.
Okay, so after the cardiac, the inflammation thing with the cardiac rehab, that's where it started. And then I started looking at, I mean, I loved sport. So I loved human performance, whether you were an athlete, it didn't matter. I wanted to say, well, why are people getting these diseases? Mm-hmm. And with research and that, we started finding, well, inflammation was one of the big thing, oxidative damage, where cells get damaged because of free oxygen radicals. And we can go a bit into that. Those were the sort of two big things. And then I looked at, what were companies doing in terms of their wellness? And companies were doing body mass index, and they were doing glucose, which is fine, cholesterol, which was the biggie for heart disease, but that almost, you know, half the patients didn't have raised cholesterol.
Blood pressure.
Yeah, typical. And then maybe an HIV test sort of later in the years. And once you had done those, you would then be termed to be well. But I thought, well, if we were well, why are we still getting more heart attacks? Why are we still getting more heart disease? Mm-hmm. We have better medication than ever before.
Yet
now we have more immune disorders, mental issues mental health issues on the rise. So how are we measuring wellness? Because and just measuring absenteeism and all of that is telling us what's happening, but it's not really measuring wellness. And that's where my journey sort of really started.
Right.
How do I measure wellness? How do I measure physiology? And then I got to meet a guy called Val Nasetkin, and Val was a Russian physiologist, and he also coached the Russian Olympic team.
Those guys are hefty.
And yeah. I got to find, and the device was called Omega Wave. And that started sort of in the late 1950s, early 1960s, as far back as then. And when the Russians looked at sort of astronauts and fighter pilots, we're putting them in these machines. Do we actually know that they can fly them? You know, are their bodies in the right state? Are they mentally right? Mm-hmm. And so on. And that's where the research started. Because if you had measured blood tests a month ago what does it matter now? Mm. You know, I mean, right. there's a new mitochondria test at the moment where you do a blood test and they send it to America and 3 weeks later you get your result.
And it's, well, and it's changed completely.
It's changed
because
completely.
Your blood changes every day.
And it's expensive.
Exactly. So it started with the brain, because the brain is the central governor. If you look at Tim Noakes talks about the central governor theory, the brain controls it all. Now we're doing mental well-being and we're doing all these programs, but we're not measuring we're not measuring the brain. So how can we determine if it's getting better or worse? Mm-hmm. How we know it's getting worse is that there's more depression, more anxiety, more suicide than ever.
Yeah.
You know?
And almost every second person is taking some kind of antidepressant and sleeping pill.
Yeah. I mean, I worked in trauma units because I loved that acute emergency medicine. That's one thing I did love about medicine, and that's why I worked in emergency units at Tiger Hospital and Groteske, and then later in more in the private sector, because I loved acute medicine. You know, if somebody breaks
saving
their arm, you fix it, and you know, you've done it. You don't need to see them 30 times over there. So, measuring the brain is really important, because that will tell us what's happening in terms of us going towards more depression and so on. But in the emergencies, what I started finding is that when taking histories, and you'd have a 12-year-old kid and you'd say to mom, well, what medication is taking? And the next thing I'd mention an antidepressant. And I said, are you sure you got the name right? You know, no, he's on there. I said, how long has he been on that for? No, 3 years already.
Sure.
And some kids were on antipsychotics at 14, 15. And I thought, wow, man, this is crazy. Mm. You know, why are these kids on these medications? And the reason being is that their brain physiology is in a state of distress. Mm. You know, I do a lot of corporate, so big multinationals, we test their teams and so on. And then when we started in school and we measured kids from 13 up, and you looked at their brain physiology, they looked the same as the stressed execs.
Mm. Wow.
If I showed you the two results and I said, pick the exec and pick the kid, you wouldn't know who it was.
Why is that? Is that social media?
Overwhelmed.
Well, it's load. Mm. You know, there's too much load. In other words, and load is not eating correctly, eating pesticides, whatever. That's a load.
Okay.
Sugar.
If you don't sleep properly, that's a load. Then the load of work, pressure and so on. They need to get scholarships. They need to get in the 90s. Mm. They need to do 5 sports. They need to do another 2 extramural activities because they want to get into varsity.
Mm. And they're also growing up way too fast. They're being exposed to stuff at the age of 9, 10 that they should only be seeing when they're 15. So there's like that emotional overload as well. Mm. Things they're not ready for.
Exactly. Yeah. And their bodies are not ready for. Mm. And you know, we talk about the parasympathetic, that rest and digest. They don't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Because, there's a whole methodology we use, using neurolymphatics to actually activate the lymphatic system and the parasympathetic. And one of them is rubbing the inner part of your thighs will switch on your core.
Mm.
And we did those techniques with the Springbok rugby players, when they won World Cups. And a lot of other athletes that I've actually worked for. But so when you look at a kid, they'll climb a tree. But when you climb a tree, it rubs the inner part of your thigh. It activates that neurolymphatic reflex to switch on your core so that you don't fall out the tree.
Sure.
So there's a process involved there. Mm. So kids don't climb trees, so they don't activate that neurolymphatic reflex, so they don't activate the core.
That's how we played.
Mm.
Right. That's incredible. When you don't activate the core, then your limbic system, your midbrain, your emotional brain picks up that the core's not activated. So it says, wow, this body's in a weak position.
Mm.
Okay. And that starts a whole another chemical of adrenaline and so on.
Doc, take us back to Russian guy, Omega machine.
Yeah. Omega. So we need to measure the brain.
All right.
And the Russians are the best in measuring the brain, doing EEG of the brains. It's an electroencephalogram. It's looking at the electric activity in the brain. And they developed a very unique, it's called direct current potential of the brain, and looks at the EEG in a very different way. It looks at what we call the ultra slow physiologic process. So in other words, what happens in the brain in that slow physiology.
Right.
Okay. That's why when you measure with this device, it's telling us, it's giving us a sort of a long-term thing of how the brain is managing stress and its regulatory capacity. How does it regulate your hormones? Because if your brain is not regulating properly, it will affect hormones. It will affect immune system.
Inflammation.
It will affect how your body activates your muscles, how it detoxifies you.
Well, your mood, everything will get affected. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So now we can measure the brain in terms of its physiology. So that was number one. The second one, we needed to know, could their cardiac systems manage those loads? G-forces, hard training to get fit and so on, right?
The pilots again, and the astronauts.
Yeah. So we
needed to do an ECG of the heart, but we looked at an ECG in a very different way as well. And a guy called Prof. Tushana did something called a differential ECG, where in a sort of 4-5 minute ECG, they looked at about 40 to 50,000 more data points in the ECG. It's the only person that's actually done that ever. And that would tell us a lot about the heart. And then very importantly, the autonomic nervous system. And that's exactly what it says. It says autonomic, which means automatic. So it's the automatic physiology that happens in your body.
Okay, wait. So physiology is everything that happens in all the systems in your body. Then we've got this autonomic thing that you just spoke about. And you spoke about something else just before that. Parasympathetic and
Autonomic nervous system is a nervous system. It's a neural system and that controls our body. So it will change physiology.
Okay. So that's how it's connected to physiology. Okay. Right.
And you have two extreme states. The one's called the sympathetic nervous system. So that, and we know that as fight, flight, and actually fright as well. People forget about the fright part. And that is high adrenaline. So when that system switches on, your physiology switches on the adrenaline and you make more. And why do you need adrenaline? So you can run faster, be stronger, be more awake and so on. And with that comes cortisol.
That's our episode. We did a whole episode on exactly that area.
The two always work together.
Right.
And that's a good thing.
Right.
Because when you want to fight, when you want to run previously, that system was important. Mm. Otherwise, you would die. Right, if you couldn't run, fight, and the lion, and so on. And then you have the parasympathetic. That's called your rest and digest system. That's where you make hormones like noradrenaline, which is a relaxed form of energy. Your body recoups, you make all the right hormones, and so on. And we live our lives between the two. So we shift all day. But sympathetic, parasympathetic. What's happened is, though, is that the lions that primary activated your sympathetic nervous system aren't around anymore. Mm. But our lions have become our stresses.
Daily stuff.
The daily stuff.
Or the email from the boss.
Yeah.
Email from the boss.
Traffic, potholes, no power, no water.
And you know which in companies, which is one of the most powerful activators of the sympathetic nervous system is emails.
Mm. Yep. Well, notifications on your phone.
I mean, I don't ever read my emails.
No, but I mean, if you take a look at a couple of documentaries where you take a look at the guys behind Facebook and Apple and Microsoft and these guys and the way they understand the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system too from a notifications perspective on your phone. What draws you to your phone every time it beeps, it buzzes, the notifications pop up, the little icon with the amount of notifications, that timer, that counter – that shows that you've got 20, 22, 23, plays into that. Like it draws you in. And that's that lion walking into the den that you're trying to run from every single time.
Time, exactly. Mm. So what happens is, instead of living in the sympathetic dominant state for maybe 10% or 5% of your day, we're now living there, I'd say after COVID, probably 90% of the time.
Definitely.
Sure, so 90% of the time, you're secreting lots of adrenaline, lots of cortisone. What does that equal? That equals inflammation, oxidative damage, aging. Damaging our DNA.
Is there nothing, psychologically, can't you have control over that? Like literally that, like the notifications, the deadlines, just
absolutely
just don't have.
So talk about that, that positive thinking and like how we perceive stress and how does that help?
Okay. So the rule is every single thought has a physiological response. Okay, I'm not saying five thoughts, six thoughts together. Every single thought, every single one.
All the thoughts.
So, I mean, let's do a little example. Do you know the lemon thing?
No.
So, okay, we do it around this table, and maybe people will be listening can do it too. So, you take a lemon and you smell it.
I can smell it. Yeah.
Can you smell it? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I want you to close your eyes and you take a deep bite into that lemon. And as you bite it, all those juices come into your mouth.
Right.
Now, I'm going to ask a question around this table. Who made more saliva?
I got the tingle.
I jaw clenched.
My face squirmed.
Your face.
So look at that. It was my thought, my visualization. Beautiful. Yes, I got you to do it. And then you go and have a physiological response. Not even something we don't feel. You actually feel that parotid gland go.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Right?
That is amazing.
And which you make it. So that thought created a physiological response.
Well, it's words, right? Words are powerful.
I do that a lot when they talk about breathing. Whenever somebody speaks about breathing, whether it's on a podcast or a meditation thing or when I'm listening on TV or whatever, the minute somebody starts talking about breathing, I start taking really deep breaths.
So you create this physiological response.
Yeah.
So can you imagine in a company, you walk in that one day and the one says, geez, what's happened to you? You look so tired. Are you okay? You know, suddenly
you're tired and not okay.
You're tired and not okay.
Yeah.
You know, and you and then you start thinking, yeah, I actually do look tired. And now and then you know what? I had a bit of a pain. Yeah. What if it's my
oh my
heart?
Gosh, I'm just looking at the comfort of this.
When I see somebody with a back pain, my dad is apparently like this. What do they call them? Hypochondriacs.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah.
And we're like, after like an hour later, I've also got a back pain.
I don't think I'm feeling so well.
I want to come back to this. I mean, you described it beautifully for me. So physiology, the two systems that underlie it, how those two systems correlate, what affects the system that's parasympathetic and the sympathetic one, those are beautiful, right? So you wanted to go down the path of actually finding a solution that bridged this world.
Well, first I wanted to find how could I measure wellness.
Okay.
So, and I needed to measure the brain, which we now can. Right. Needed to measure the heart, right before it has a heart attack or any disease. Needed to measure the autonomic nervous system because that is the core of well-being.
Mm.
That's it. It's quite simple.
You're right. It's like the substrate of everything.
Yeah. So if you go and look at the blue zones, where do they live most of the time?
Outside.
They're parasympathetic.
Yeah.
Okay. They're barefoot on the ground. They're picking the veggies. Mm. They're cooking. They're talking. They're laughing. Mm. That's all parasympathetic. Mm. There's no magic.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Yep.
And the thing is, right, we're not out there on the Greek island, but we can do that kind of stuff where we live.
Yeah.
No, we can't. And then the final thing I wanted to measure was energy, because energy is everything.
Yep.
Vibration, frequency, and so on. And it sounds woo-woo, but it's not. There's mitochondria. Those are the little energy factories in every single cell that produce our energy.
Mm.
And they need nutrients, and they need enzymes, and they need a fuel to run. So we need to be able to give that to them so that they, because without energy, you don't have anything.
No, the universe is energy. Yeah. Everything's energy. Well, energy. Einstein's theory of energy.
So if I could measure all that, then I would know if you are well or not, or what highway you are, because you might still be okay, but you're on that highway.
You know what?
I love that analogy.
This is closing the circle.
Yes.
Now I understand. When you said this closes the circle.
Mm.
So what if you know what your DNA is?
Yeah.
What if you know your genetic dispositions?
Mm.
What if you know all those things? At the end of the day, if you don't understand what triggers it, these systems, and you can measure yourself on a weekly, monthly, daily basis to establish, you know, what's happening in your body day to day, that is actually more important. understanding your predispositions for inflammation, like you, I'm looking at you, babe.
Yeah.
Inflammation.
Yeah, it's major.
Is major, right? You've got like your genetic predisposition for intense inflammation is significant.
Yeah.
Therefore, you've like really got to take care of this.
I really need to take care of my parasympathetic. Mm. And I really do. Because otherwise, my inflammation, which I'm already predisposed to high inflammation, is going to be exacerbated by my state of mind, by the fact that I'm not spending enough time in rest and digest.
But before we couldn't measure
this. I'm making my problem worse. I'm actually making it manifest. I'm actually going to land up getting cancer or whatever.
The point is
I'm not looking after it.
But we always spoke about these things in the past with Carly and everything, but we never had a method to close that circle to say, well, in what state are you right now based upon your conditions? Yeah. And I think if we can establish that plus with your genetics.
And I think I'm specifically attracted to this because when you look at me on the outside, I mean, I do a lot of the right things. I mean, I don't eat meat. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I eat, for plants a lot of the time. I'm vegetarian for almost 20 years now. Mm. I supplement appropriately. I rest well. Mm. I exercise every day in a low impact way. I rebound every day. I do like a lot right. Mm. But there is one thing that I don't do right, and that's my stress. Like, I definitely know for a fact that this is where my biggest problem lies, and this is where my inflammation is going to come from. Mm-hmm. It's not going to come from all the other parts of my sort of health intervention program. Those I've ticked a long time ago. It's this part that is needing attention.
Okay, so let me stick with you for a second. Yeah. So knowing the test like you know it now, and you can obviously administer this test and you can intervene and all that other stuff. When you say what you just said, how does this empower you to address that?
Well, I mean, I've had my test done now a couple of times. We've tested it on different occasions and different scenarios. And my most recent one, which was just like 3 days ago, came out the worst. And it's obviously very concerning for me.
So you did it one before and you tested really well. I remember bragging about it.
No, I tested the first time I ever did it.
You were surprised. You were surprised it was good.
I was overcommitted. I had just exercised, hadn't eaten properly. I was feeling very stressed, but not stressed as in like, I'm worried about my life. I'm worried about my marriage. I'm worried about money. Like, I was stressed and like overcommitted. So I was like running on a high. Mm. So when I did my test, I think it was a 3, overall, it was like a 3.
Which isn't great.
Okay. Yeah. Considering 7 is your ideal and 1 is like the worst. So I was like a little worried about that. Then a couple of weeks later, we did the test again. We were in training and that day I was very calm. Mm. I felt very calm. I'd rested well. I'd exercised that day. I was on time for everything. I just felt like everything was just perfectly fine. And I scored a 4 and I was so excited to see progress. Okay. Now, over the last of the while, traveling a lot, there is a lot I'm going through at the moment. There's a lot. And I tested a 1 and a 2. And that is like almost the worst you can get. Now I'm freaking out a bit because I'm realizing like, you can eat so well. You can do all the things so well. But if you don't look after this system, good luck.
Okay, but let me ask you again. Mm. So now you went 4, 3, 2, 1 kind of stuff. Yeah. So now you're in this 1, 2.
Yes.
So now the 1 and 2 is just a number.
It is just a number measuring the different things.
But what are you going to do now to make sure that goes up?
Well, there's beautiful intervention programs. Like? So like something that I don't do is meditate, So like I know for a fact now that I need to make the time for that.
Right.
I always feel better when I go for a walk or I take the dogs to the park
even
or
yoga.
Something like to do with breath work, more mindfulness in my day. The cold bath that I got, that igloo therapy, doing that a couple of times a day.
That she lays on its side and she pours water in the fridge and then she climbs in.
Yeah. Something that I haven't been good at doing for a while now is my gratitude. I used to do my gratitude books every day and I used to write out my gratitude.
Gratitude is one of the biggest activators of the parasympathetic nervous
system. And I haven't been doing that.
That simple little gratitude exercise.
Yes, it just makes you feel like you have so much. So
what you guys are doing now is taking it away from just being a test with a number.
Yeah.
It's a test with a number, but with clear articulations of why that number is a 1 and suggestions around what you can do. And you saying, well, if I can introduce this, introduce that. My test was extraordinary. It said ice baths. And I was like, did you con it? Because you just got an ice bath. And that was 1. And
it's one thing.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that told me.
But you can do that in the shower. You can go hot and cold in the shower. But, the ice bath is something not everybody can afford or has access to. But you do now. So you can actually take it one step further and get an ice bath.
Or you can take a bowl with ice cold water.
Put your face in
for 10 seconds. Those activate the vagus nerve. Because sometimes the stresses are always still going to be there.
Yes.
But we can help our physiology cope better with that. So the impact is not that great. I talk about the cost of the load.
Yeah,
what are you paying
for?
Right. How much is it going to cost a lot? It's going to cost a lot. Right. Because if you can reduce that cost, then you become consistent in improving your physiology. Yeah. Because if the cost is high, you can still perform. Mm. But boy, are you paying for it.
Yeah.
With the inflammation.
Yeah, and it might not be today. It probably isn't going to be today because I'm so good at so many of the other things. But in 10 years' time,
that's the whole thing.
I'm going to pay. Look, and that's what worries me the most because I have all these predispositions in my bloods and my DNA. And I'm like, oh my gosh, right now you're fine. But in 10 years' time, if you don't fix this, there is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So I'm on the wrong highway when it comes to stress and my autonomic nervous system.
Look, I got the same outcome. And for me, it's for the first time, something didn't just give me, well, here's your genetics.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like, okay, hope that you do, right? So, but like this actually, my tests gave me clear direction, like do this.
Mm.
And I'm now working it into it. I want to kind of pause us for a second. Tony.
Hi.
Hi.
You've been there.
I know. This is unusual.
And nodding.
This is unusual. So,
yes.
So Dr. Costas told us about his journey, the why. I mean, it's beautiful. He's a medical doctor saying, hey, you know, I need to go deeper here. I can't just be issuing out pills. I love that. It's the conviction around the test. And I ultimately actually want to come back to how did it get to VitaNew. But we'll get there. So maybe you can make that connection. But again, Tony, you here again. How did you get into this? It makes so much sense for me that you did.
Yeah, no.
Because considering all those blue pills that you give me, that makes me wee blue for a week. She gave me this pill.
The blue pill.
And she said, this is one that I can't take this to Lisa because she's definitely not ready for this level of like Houdini stuff.
Yeah.
And I drank it. And I weed, it was blue. Next day it was blue. The next day was still blue.
Jesus, what have you given me?
Like, does this mean I'm like a blue weir forever?
You're a smurf.
You're a smurf.
Anyway, so welcome back again.
Thanks.
And I love that you've brought this to us and connected and everything.
You know, I love you guys.
I just want to hear about like you, the Dr. Costa connection. How does that all kind of come together and how does this play in your world?
It really was almost divine intervention to me. And I'm sorry to say that it's so heavy, but it really was because, I mean, you guys know I research the best ingredients in the world. Like I've made that my life purpose. I want to get the best. I really want to help people. And as much as you can read through science paper after science paper for fun. Yeah. I know on a Saturday, I do it. There was always a, like you say, the circle wasn't closed because I was like, this is great. And they do tests on animals and they do tests on humans and that's wonderful. But their physiology is all different as well, which was a big like ding dong for me.
Mm-hmm.
And and also, you know, how does it, sorry, I was thinking of a million things there. I was thinking of the blue pill.
Okay.
You still suck on that.
Yeah, no. So for me, if I'm creating these amazing supplements and I'm creating these amazing products for people and the data and the research tells me that these ingredients are great and they're going to do this for you and, you know, based on all of these, you know, scientific trials. And then I get some people that are like, oh, I feel amazing. I've had great results. And then I get others that look like that other person that had amazing results.
Mm.
And they tell me, I don't know if it's working.
Mm.
And I don't know. Is it really? I don't know how I feel. And that's been happening for a while for me. And I thought, well, there's something wrong here because if these ingredients are so amazing, everybody should be giving me the same feedback. And I'd been thinking that for a long time.
Mm.
And I was like, what is going on? Something, yes, of course, we know diet. And I always ask them, what's your diet? But for people like us that do almost everything right, and they were still giving me feedback that I wasn't happy with.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, And then Dr. Costa and I, we have this booth or a pop-up at a, like it's a kind of like a well-care medical center at the waterfront. And I kind of saw him there a couple of days and we said hello and I, who you? Hi, I'm Tony. I'm Dr. Costa. What do you do? Oh, that's great. And then the one day I was there with the blue pills and I was doing a training session and some videos and I could see him hovering in the background and he was listening. And then he came to me afterwards and he said, you know, you've really done your research on ingredients. Like I haven't come across somebody who's gone into so much detail and the way you explain it. he says, can I show you something? So I was like, absolutely. And that's actually how it started.
Oh, wow.
And when he told me about the brain and this, I was like, I want to test right now.
So that's this closed the circle for
this,
you too?
Completely. And then when I had my test, I scored terribly, my first test. And it was not at all what I thought. Because my mind, I'm a million miles an hour.
Right.
I'm never tired. I can do 100 different things. I'm all over the show, but in a good way. I can do that. Then I can have a meeting. Then I can... But my brain was so fatigued, and I said, how can this be? Like, I'm not tired. My mind is racing. But it was the load.
Wow.
The demand that I was putting on my brain was like, stop it. I cannot cope with this.
But take it back.
So emotionally, you were coping. Yeah. Mentally, you were coping. Physically. But physiologically, you were not coping.
And even
that's
physically,
the problem.
Because if you're strong mentally, you can push yourself past
and
those
points. And that's what is happening.
But, so you start performing, but you're performing at a cost. Yes. And that's what I'll say. What's the cost?
100%.
That is just spot on.
But I like what Tony said when she opened up. It's like you've built all these beautiful supplements. Like best lion's mane in the country.
Yeah.
Breast collagen
in
the country. Yeah. Best daikon radish. We know what daikon can do. But at the end of the day, if your physiology is
exactly.
not right,
and
then
that, yeah, and that was another moment for me, aha moment, because I was like, well, if my physiology and my brain is not performing where I want it to be, which is the same as most people, what are those supplements actually doing? I'm spending all this money. I'm taking the best. Thank heavens they're the best, because they're clearly doing something, but they could be doing so much better if my cells actually knew what to do with all these amazing things I'm giving it. So that got me like really excited. I said, we need to do this. And for me, I've always wanted to be in tech. I know where the future is. And how do we now with
together.
What I love doing and how do we marry it and how do we bring it together? So it really was a godsend.
That's amazing. I love the connection.
It was just,
for me, I must be honest, if Vita New came to me without you, I would have been like another loopy thing, right? But the fact that you were really like connecting with it, that made me.
And I had a nutritional company for about 15 years, so I understood vitamins and so on.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, when you've researched that, you know when something's good because you just know it and you can see it. And so it's
a beautiful time where you can, like literally you can – we've got, if you take a look at what we have right now on the table, right? We've got these beautiful supplements from Tony.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are incredible supplements, but you're absolutely right. We still have our support line where someone will say, so how much must I take of this?
Yeah.
And like, I'm taking
am I meant to be feeling different?
Yeah.
You know, I don't really
why is
feel
it not
different.
Fixing my sleep? Why is it not that? But like, we've never had the ability to say, oh, you're still struggling with this. Well, guess what? Do you understand your physiology?
Yeah.
Do you understand
when
what's
was the last
happening?
Time you hiked a tree?
Absolutely.
Okay. You took your shoes off and went to just walk
and
on the grass.
And people come and say, I feel tired. But I always ask, what's tired? Is it your brain that's tired?
Physically.
Is it your cardiac system that's tired? Is it your autonomic nervous system that's tired and burnt out? Or is it your mitochondria that are tired and burnt out?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Different applications.
That's
same experience of tiredness,
but
from a different source.
Okay, so let's get back to the tech and the test itself. Okay, so I think we've really framed it well. The history, Dr. Costa, your history, the connection, the why, what the area, the ecosystem that this thing goes into. What is the test? So people listening to this right now, what is it? Because you kind of have to sit down and be quiet for a bit, and then something happens. So just describe what this test is, technically, the physical aspects of it. Things get stuck onto your palm or whatever, and then
you
on your
love
head.
The tech is getting smaller and smaller
I
love and more
it.
Portable.
It's small.
You always
small.
Show me these photos of this huge, massive PC with that whole CD drive that used to be next to it, and then the camera used to be so massive.
A smartphone.
You know? Yeah, and then all of that just into a smartphone.
Yeah.
And this is what's happened. I mean, we used to have an EEG machine, ECG machine, these massive machines
brain
that would cost
scan,
millions.
Can you imagine?
You know, brain scan. I mean, come on. It wasn't accessible to almost anybody.
Right.
You know, the athletes, the professionals that had incredible medical aids, or if you're sick, you know.
Right.
So now it's all been condensed.
Okay, well, just quickly, there was something that when Dr. Kass, I want you to just repeat, maybe Tony, you said, I can't remember, but you said that there's actually professional athletes today that utilize this tool.
Yeah, so this has been used by professional athletes for about about 20 years already.
Mm. Oh, wow.
The technology.
So, I mean, teams like Barcelona, Liverpool, Lionel Messi.
All of them.
All
not
managed.
Chelsea.
Chelsea, FC.
No wonder.
Chelsea, not yet.
No wonder.
So, I mean, Lionel Messi, who was tested regularly. I mean, I think Val was involved with him. I think they've kept him injury free for more than a year.
Really?
Why? Because they know. So,
repeat that. So, Lionel Messi is using the VitaNew test.
Yeah.
And go. That's huge. Yeah. Like you're jumping over that too quickly.
And all of them.
Yeah, Ronaldo. Well, that's incredible.
Okay. And what they've done, I mean, his team, is they've taken the Omega Wave, the VitaNew Omega Wave test, and actually correlate and looked at his GPS data. So when he tests, they can actually work out that he can run for 11 kilometers. He'll be good for 30 sprints at that speed and 40 sprints at that speed.
Right. So as a coach, you can tell, I'm fast-forwarding now, like he's only playing one half.
So
second half, I'm taking him off.
So once he reaches 11 kilometers, they say, off you come. Mm. Not and he could be playing his best football, but past that point, his risk of injury just went up. The cost has just gone up. So that means he might be paying for it in the next match. I mean, Rory McIlroy has been tested with it, with his brain. Val worked with him. And, you know, you can look at brain
pattern. Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, so you can actually look at the brain pattern and see when the brain looks like this, he'll putt well. If your brain looks like that, he won't, you know?
That's incredible.
So that's the depth you can actually go to.
Yeah.
I mean, the UFC, Performance Institute in the US, the head is Roman Foman, who I know well. I had the EFC, or the South African version of the UFC.
Yes.
And the one day.
I
spoke to Drix before his last fight, but we hadn't measured him yet. But anyway, they had an event here at Grand West, and I tested all the fighters on that one day. Just as we test each one. And I could predict with 85% probability who would win and who would lose. If they didn't win by the second round, they would lose after that. They had to win within two rounds because of where their brains and that were.
We could do like a sport bookie betting thing on the side. You know,
just contact
Betway. We'll talk after the podcast.
That
is incredible. Okay, so take me through the procedure. So someone's going to come to our studio,
okay,
and we now set up. We've got Lisa's doing it. We've got Tana doing it. We've got Carly's involved in it. So what happens?
Okay, so it's a 5-minute test.
Which is extraordinary. Doesn't take a lot of time.
You take a little bit of biometrics, height, weight,
and age.
It feels
like forever, 5 minutes. I don't know when the last time, times that I've really, really counted 5 minutes, because even when I do an ab plank, 5 minutes is nothing for me anyway. But 5 minutes in an ice bath, oh my gosh, it is the longest 5 minutes ever. And five minutes on a VitaNew, I must think calming thoughts and just lie there for 5 minutes. No, it's very long.
Yes. Why? Because you have to go in.
Yeah.
That's the trick. Right?
Okay, so take it.
It's one small sensor.
Right.
You'd put on like a Polar strap.
Right. So it's like a heart rate monitor.
It's like a heart rate monitor. Mm-hmm. There'll be a cable that connects into there and one that connects with an electrode to your forehead.
Forehead, yes.
And one to your right hand, your dominant hand, either right or left. It connects to the iPad via Bluetooth. You lie down and you press the start button and it starts measuring you.
Okay.
You need to keep quiet, so you don't want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 5 minutes, you
get your results.
You have the results.
And it's non-invasive.
And this is what we're measuring. Yeah. So we're measuring an EEG. Whatever we do is medical grade.
Right.
So the EEG is medical grade of the brain. We do a different kind of EEG than what some of the neurologists do. We use a much lower frequency, and there's reasons for that. We do a medical grade ECG, but we do what we call a differential ECG, and that's what makes it different. I told you about the 50,000 data points. And why that's important is because we can correlate that directly to the mitochondria, the energy factories in the heart muscle, because that's where the most is, considering your heart has to beat 60,000 beats per day. Right? And that correlates to the mitochondria in your muscles.
So does this relate back to HRV?
No, no, that's not HRV yet.
Okay, all right.
Right,
okay.
Now we do HRV.
Right.
But we do HRV based on that very detailed ECG.
Got it.
Which allows us to do HRV in 20 different parameters. Mm. And the important thing here is the Russians standardized HRV in the 1960s. And the West standardized HRV in the 1990s.
Okay.
Sure. So the Russians have 30 years more data on HRV, so they know how to, it's really
deep. And that's the one we use.
So, I mean, if you're using things like some of the wearables, they do have HRV, but it's a very simple form.
So just HRV, it's heart rate variability, which is what? Exactly.
So the beat between each beat that you have, boom, 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 there's a difference between each gap.
Okay.
There needs to be variability. So that little distance should change all the time.
Oh, it should not be constant.
Should not be constant. The minute it becomes constant, it shows that your body's in severe stress.
Oh, really?
So what happens is the heart says, ooh, I'm in trouble. So it doesn't even listen to the brain. It just says, I need to beat so he doesn't die. So boom. Boom. So it becomes very constant.
That's interesting. Because in the morning, I wake up in the morning, my watch tells me my HRV for the night when I was sleeping, and it'll give me normal, abnormal. That's a measurement.
Yeah.
And I'm not hitting a normal rate during my sleep. So essentially, my heart is beating in a panic state.
Yes, in a panic state, in a fight and flight state.
Which is maybe why you shouldn't sleep with your AirPods in your ears listening to podcasts while you're trying to sleep.
This is our podcast, not the Stafford podcast.
That's why you're listening to something that your subconscious is kind of stressing about. So you should maybe just turn that off and just sleep. Rest. Turn off your brain.
Look, I'm listening to you. I think you actually were correct. Because that's one thing that has been worrying me. I'll get like an 81% sleep rating, but my HRV will be chronic.
Yeah.
Which essentially means my heart strained throughout my sleep process.
Yeah. And so that means you're not really getting the rest that you think you're getting.
So just repeat that. So it is the beats should not be equal.
Between this beat should be 0.1 second and maybe 0.26 seconds and maybe 0.1 again.
Which means you're peaceful.
Yeah.
And your heart's listening to your body, your physiology.
Exactly.
And it's in sync.
So when the body gets so stressed, the heart says, okay, bugger you guys. I'm just making sure I'm going to beat. I don't care what you're doing.
So it becomes like an automatic response.
But now, Steph, you did your test. Yeah. Mm. Is this making sense to you now?
A lot's making sense. So look, the thing around the debt or the cost of this thing is ringing in my head since the test.
Yeah. Mm.
And that keeps worrying me. So now I've got another worry, by the way. I'm worried that I'm still not doing what I need to be doing, i.e. the ice, all the stuff that's been recommended. And it's just because I'm busy at the moment, but literally Monday next week, I'm an all or nothing person. I don't just do a little, okay, I'll do this. I do. So Monday next week, for myself, it kicks in. So ice baths kick in.
But you know what? It's a little change. It's like you're going to listen to a podcast anyway. Put your tackies on, grab the dogs, go walk around the neighborhood and listen to the podcast. So, you know, you can do two things at one time. You can listen to material you like outside.
You don't have to do massive change. I always tell people, don't do massive. Let's just start a little bit.
Yeah.
Just do this and this next. And let 2 weeks come and measure. That's the important thing. Yeah. Is you want once-off measurements are once-off measurements.
Yeah.
Okay. What's important is what is the trend? Where are you? Because if you're doing stuff and your trend is getting worse.
Something's not working.
Then something's not working. Yes. You need to do something. Mm. And then you'll find days when you'll go up and down, but then you'll know, listen, every time I go up, it's because when I've had 3 bottles of wine, okay, you know what? I'll have 2 glasses now.
So this test then is something, would you recommend like once a week in the beginning, once a month?
So if somebody's in the red,
depends on the
score. You know where we put you into red, yellow, green. It's just a nice.
So like she's in one zone.
So
she's
in the red. So if you're in the red, put in an intervention, measure yourself in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
You can do a week, but I say 2 weeks, give it a chance to it. If you're still in the red, then 2 weeks again.
But the point is when you're getting the data, do the stuff that makes the change, the changes, and then come back and.
I mean, I'm a layman here as well. So I'll, with my first test, I got such a fright when I saw my brain so fatigued. And then I turned to Costa and I was like, I can't believe it. And he said, don't worry because after so many years of experience, he knows what to do He says, I promise you, your brain's going to improve. And I was like, I don't believe you. He said, I promise you. Right. Just listen to me. It's very simple. You don't have to go and do anything that's going to cost you a fortune. You don't have to go and change your diet. You literally just have to do simple, simple things. And all I did, literally all I did, was I upped my creatine just by 5 grams. I was taking 5 grams a day. I now take 10.
Mm.
Okay. I introduced a very, very potent omega-3. And I'd stopped taking omega-3 for a long time. I hadn't taken omega-3 because I battle with them. You know, right. Fish, I don't really eat fish.
Repeats on you.
It repeats on me. It doesn't, it hurts my stomach. But I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. My brain needs help. And I stopped doom scrolling at night. So I put my cell phone away now.
And that'll give you that brainwash exercise to increase the brain power.
And the brainwash exercise, which I absolutely love.
We need to
love.
Record a video after that.
Okay, what are you guys talking
and
about?
And I promise you, those things.
Is that the thing you showed me in the store day one?
Yeah,
when
so.
When I met you.
Yeah, it brain. Yes. And
okay,
then
let's finish the story and then we'll circle back to
and
the
then,
brainwash.
So thing. That's all. So that is literally all I did. So the only expense there for me was buying the Omega in terms of like an extra outlay and upping the creatine.
And since then?
I've improved by 2 points.
So what are you now?
Almost 3.
Now you're going to go and do the forest for 20
now
minutes.
Now I've got to go do a forest.
Yeah. Interesting.
But the other things didn't take time,
but
which
my
is amazing.
Autonomic nervous system was 7 out of 7.
Really? Eh?
Perfect. Perfect score. And my brain had improved by 2. So, and just from that, no cell phone at night.
This is
simple stuff.
Is
and I was so encouraged for me. Wow. I was like, shit, my
you
brain
can change
is sorry,
easy
brain.
Things.
Yeah, I can actually simple stuff so, that we forgot about, you know.
So I'm gonna bring this quickly, like I always do, back to me. I scored low on the cardiac readiness thing. So like and nervous reserve. What does that mean for me day to day?
In terms of your autonomic nervous system,
yeah.
Well, you need to get into your parasympathetic. So, what's that sleeping with the thing at night? Okay, that's not allowing you to go to parasympathetic. So, you're saying to your heart, no rest for you, buddy. Mm. You need to be awake in case we stop.
Okay, lots of lines, man. I'm snorting the stuff tonight.
Yeah, because Steph struggles
and
to turn
brain
his brain off.
And your brain is so linked to your heart. That's what we don't – and this system measures that neurocardiac pathway. Mm. That's what's so important. So the brainwash thing is a crazy – it's probably one of the oldest yogic exercises that you will not find in any book.
Mm. Okay, and what
I
is
I came
that?
Across it know. By
right.
– I think I was in India, and I came across it. And I've looked for it again and never ever I can't find it. So your CSF fluid, which is the cerebrospinal fluid, which is the fluid in your spine,
right,
goes up the brain, washes the brain via the lymphatic system, comes down. So it's actually a pump. So you actually pump. This CSF pump is about 12 beats per minute.
Okay.
So that's how we wash our brains. With stress, fight, flight, or whatever, the average pump in us is maybe 6 beats per minute, half.
Okay.
So that means our brain that takes 25 to 30% of our energy, all those toxins and
are not being flushed
away.
You
so they hang around.
Yeah.
So you get brain fog and the brain just doesn't work properly. So it's an exercise that actually activates that pump again. And you do it a minute twice a day. You just need a minute.
Okay.
And eventually you activate, so you force the pump to work.
Right.
And then the pump then engages and keeps on doing it and beats 12 beats. And literally, it's like switching on the lymphatic system of the brain called the glymphatic system. And now you wash your brain, so you get rid of all those toxins, so your brain becomes fresh. You do that for 10 days. After 10 days, you change your brain.
Okay, so how do I do that physically? What do I do?
Okay, so what you do is, I'll explain it. Mm. So you grab your left ear with your right arm and your right ear with your left, and you
we're all doing this, by the way.
you
hear
pinch
noise.
Your ear,
the lobe.
Right? And then you'd stand sort of shoulder width, and then as you go down, you breathe in.
So you squat down,
and you're breathing through your mouth.
Through your mouth,
because it must be a forceful in breath. And as you come up, you breathe out.
Right.
Okay. So what happens is when you squat and you breathe in, you increase the abdominal pressure so much that it forces the fluid up into the brain from up your spine.
Wow.
And when you come up and blow it out, you're creating like a vacuum, so it sucks it back down.
This is us climbing trees.
Well, luckily that is how I
Okay, see, climbing trees. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And this is how I teach people to squat. I always say breathe in on the way down and exhale on the way up.
Yes.
Yeah, always. It's always that way. But I don't necessarily ask them to touch the earlobe.
Yeah,
so
but that's why do we
do that?
So we get left-right brain coherence.
Okay.
I do it every
From
morning
now on, we're
now.
Doing squats like this.
As you wake
and
up.
And by doing that, so you when you, so if you, you want, it. So what is genius or real creativity and that kind of stuff is when the left and the right brain work together.
Mm.
That's genius.
Yeah.
Mm. That's how you get genius or whatever it
is. And how many times?
So you do it a minute twice a day.
Okay. Yeah. Morning, afternoon, whatever.
Sort of in the morning when you get up and before you go to bed at night.
And you must rub it. You must now also rub your inner thighs. Eh?
Yeah. We do that
rebounding at the end of every class.
We do the pat down.
So what we can, that's phenomenal. So what what I want to do is, and then we'll do a workshop on activating your whole body, your neurolymphatics.
I'd love to do that.
And that balances your body.
So let's make a commitment around it. We need to do that.
Okay.
So and then we can do that and teach it and share it and all of that. Because your neurolymphatics is so important.
Mm.
And when you balance your neurolymphatics and they fire properly, your autonomic nervous, because this is how it works. I mean, 5%, we control 5% through our prefrontal cortex, and the 95% of our life is our subconscious emotional brain, all of that, which really runs us. You know, we're using this 5% to try and control everything.
Make your decisions and everything. Yeah.
So when your body is not, so you can say, oh, I'm in a good state, like a sportsman or whatever it is, I'm feeling good, but he's in fight flight, his brain's fatigued, his limbic system goes, oh, buddy, I don't think so, you know? And you stop performing whatever it is, because the principle is you can't perform when you're defending. So when your body's in defending mode, you can't perform.
And now you can actually measure that. So that's a question I wanted to ask you. So if someone's listening to this and says, but
I feel fine. For instance, me, I'm the perfect person because I feel like I've got a lot of energy. Unless I don't sleep well the night before, every day I wake up and I've got vitality. Well, not vitality, but I've got energy. I can do my day. I perform classes. I do a million things in a day. People often ask, like, how do you do it? And I'm like, I just have great energy. I eat well, sleep well, do all these things.
You're one of those
1%ers. But okay. I generally have a positive outlook. Yes. I can do it. I want to do it. I love what I do. So I have a lot of passion, a lot of purpose in my life. Mm. And that drives me and it fuels me to keep going and keep positive and stay in the zone.
Yeah.
But it is definitely coming at a cost because if I look at my results, I've got Saturday's results here on my screen. Mm. It's shocking. So my body is like not coping with the pace and
the demand you're putting
The demand I'm putting on it. So even with my positive thinking, because Steph's like, careful, you're going to read this result and then you're going to start feeling this way. And like, it's got nothing to do with that. The one is like psycho. The one is like my positive outlook and that's where I'm good. And then this is the cost. This is this test that I did on Saturday. Is my pace and my go, and working 15-hour days and things like that. It's telling me that my body is not happy.
So I like it. I just think that it shouldn't drive you emotionally into a reinforcement.
No, it worries me. Therefore, action is needed.
Action
is needed. Okay, when was the last time I took my shoes off? Because I hate being barefoot. And just go into the grass. Do more of the cold dipping. Meditation. When was the last time I did my gratitude books?
Right.
It's upping my certain supplements. I need action. Right. My body is not happy on a physiological level. Luckily, you can change that.
Yeah.
I'm just so fascinated that. People do it thinking I'm okay, and then they do it, and they're like, whoa, I'm so not okay.
Yeah, most people think they're okay.
I always give the example because, I mean, I've also now had to practice and I've tested a lot of people. And a lot of them also, they get shocked because they look amazing and they, you know, and it's not what you would expect. And then I say, yes, but how many times have we heard stories of a 40-year-old who wakes up, he's never smoked, he's never drank, he's fit, he runs marathons, and he dies of a heart attack.
Everybody
says,
I mean,
how could it
happen
to him?
How much breast cancer do you see nowadays?
Yeah, exactly.
Every second third person has breast cancer, you know.
Or mental health decline. Like people just aren't happy.
Yeah.
They're not coping with their lives.
I mean, in the emergency, 1 month, when I was working there, I saw three young, one was 15, one was 17, one was 23 with colon cancer. 15 years ago, you never heard of colon cancer in young women. Never. It just didn't happen.
Hmm.
And now you're seeing lots of it. Yeah. Lots of leukemias, lots of stuff like that.
So I come from...
We're paying for it.
We're paying for it. And I think when you look at the world through the Vita New lens, it's very empowering. But it's also very intimidating and scary. So coming from the technology world,
it's terribly
to see
scary.
The platforms that we've built, Facebook, Instagram... I mean, we live on this because Lisa's business lives on this stuff. But if you broad, you take a look at it. I mean, these things are constantly telling you you're not good enough. You're constantly
especially
worried that you're not living up to a certain level. People flaunting their wealth makes you unhappy with what you have. There's a constant drag on you.
Yes.
And these young kids are, but it's not just young kids, it's adults.
Yeah.
There's a general happiness driven by just seeing so much happiness that's actually false.
Yeah.
And that's what Vita New shows you. It shows you that a happy face, a happy-go-lucky person, no, that's got nothing to actually do with it.
Yeah.
It's now we have a measuring stick to say, are you actually happy? And your happiness is not how you feel. Your happiness is, can I measure your parasympathetic? Your sympathetic? Is your brain happy?
Is your body happy?
Yeah. And that's for me, this is like for lack of a better term, to make it not sound simplistic, but it's almost like a happiness test.
Yeah.
Not in a happy-happy test, but like, inside, is my body happy?
Yeah, is your body happy?
You know what? Yeah. I mean, obviously, with years of testing, I can walk into a company and I can talk to a few individuals, talk to the CEO, and I'll know what the physiology is going to show.
Mm. Really?
Eh? Yeah. Mm. I can tell you. I'll say to you, at least 80% will be in the red. I've gone into companies, spoken to the CEO, spoken to the staff, and say, you know what? Maybe if we get 20% ready in this company, I'll be surprised.
Hmm.
And then guess
is it
what?
Just an energy that you feel, like the words people are saying, the energy, are they,
or is it the way
they
look?
Ask specific questions?
No, it's the way they talk. Because you must remember, when you're in fight flight, you talk a certain way.
Yeah.
Mm. When your brain's in fight flight, you're looking for negative stuff.
Yeah.
You can't see positive stuff because physiologically you cannot see it.
Yeah.
Because your body won't allow you to see it because it's trying to protect you. It's going to protect you with everything that it's got.
So if your wife is like really full of shit, you should just shove her on the bed, tell her to keep quiet for 15 minutes, and then put this Vita New test in there and then show her like, you like this because it's a one out. No, but like,
but you know what?
But
it should be the other way around. I mean, it's most men that don't want to.
That don't want to.
The women are more accepting of it because they're more in tune with their bodies than what we are.
Yeah, because this shows weakness.
Eh? Of course.
Yeah. It's like, wait a minute.
Because the minute you test a corporate or men in sport, like, wow, he's better than me. Mm. No, he's not better than you. You can perform better, but his physiology, he's coping. He's going to last longer as an athlete.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he's doing something different. Yeah. I mean, there's a really good, I'm not going to mention his name now. I mean, a rugby player who we managed for 2 or 3 years, and he played well into his career, minimal injuries, because he managed himself. He's now moved into the corporate space. And I measured him two, 3 months ago, and he's red everywhere. And he said, no, the machine's broke. Calm me. I said, no, man, you know that this works. Mm. But you know what? But now you're not doing the recoup stuff, what you were doing as an athlete and you knew you had to do. Mm. Now you get off the plane, you buy a takeaway, you drink a Coke, and then you're there, then you're on the plane, you're not sleeping.
And it's a lot of fight.
You've got two kids at home, and you're worried about them. And dinner, you know, all those loads are suddenly your physiology saying, nah.
So, we talk about social media, but I think South Africans are really impacted on this level.
Yeah.
And we don't know the cost of this. I mean, especially if
you
live in places.
You can feel it when you land at the airport.
Well, if you live in like Johannesburg, right?
So
it's a city that's broken. I mean, you guys come from Cape Town, you can see it's broken. So we know our water is, we're not sure. It's going to be there or not. Right? Our electricity keeps going out. And, our safety, our roads, everything constantly nags at you, the insecurity around you all the time.
Mm.
So those external factors that are beyond our control, this test is obviously going to highlight that this is having an impact. And essentially, it's going to give you a number, and then you can go off and do something about that number. Is it as simple as that?
It's as simple as that. It's not complicated. It's as simple as that.
Mm.
As simple as maybe just learning to breathe a little bit.
Mm.
Need to do that. You need to make these little changes that can be done. They're not big mountains that you need to climb. And interesting you say, Joe, so the one company that really scored well was the company in Cape Town.
Yeah. look at the mountain.
So now, but isn't this beautiful? Because now, as a human being, but now testing a company, which is an organism in itself, right? You can now look at a company and say, listen, 80% of your people have brain fatigue and stress, right? They are going to affect productivity. There's going to be presenteeism, high presenteeism. There's going to be high absenteeism. People are going to resign because they just can't cope. Mm. And you lose all that knowledge and and wisdom or whatever it is, that now you can do little stuff for a company. I mean, we did we did Mercedes-Benz and we did a breathwork session, intense one. We did a mindfulness workshop and we did a mind body, the neurolymphatic workshop. And we improved the physiology by 16% in 6 weeks.
That's incredible. That's amazing. So look,
well, can I say something about it? So that is one of the reasons why I decided after a 3-year lease at a big retail shopping center, not to renew my lease. Because when I worked there, which was only one Saturday a month, at the end of the day, I felt completely overstimulated. My brain felt fatigued. I'd had no fresh air, no natural lighting. I felt very stressed. At the end of the day, I felt like something was off. Mm. And I thought, I was saying to staff all the time, I don't know how the ladies cope. They work in the store 5 out of 7 days with no natural lighting, no fresh air, no nature. They can't see a storm. They can't see anything. And I didn't like that, the prescriptive long hours and the fact that there was just no like recovery from stress in a day. And that is why I took my entire store and I teleported it to where our studio is, where we can open the blinds, they can see the green, fresh air, natural lighting, and they are a lot happier working better hours, obviously, because we don't have to, you know, go with the whole retail store hours, but just little things like being able to see nature, see the winds, feel the sun, you know, and breathe in fresh air, for me felt like it's a much kinder environment for my staff. It's like very important, and it has changed the entire like being.
So this is amazing from a company, a corporate, a professional life perspective. But I think it's so important for couples. I really do.
Well,
I think
elaborate.
in a marriage, when you're just not understanding what your man's going through, and maybe he's not a guy that talks and he just carries the load, or vice versa.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful way to say, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at, are we healthy? Okay. Are we happy inside? Do the test, look at it. I mean, it made me understand a lot of what's going on in your world.
Yeah.
As your husband. Like, whoa, okay. So you're dealing with a lot. This is like the stuff that.
It's not just stuff I'm saying, like, I can't cope. I'm feeling stressed. And he's like, get a grip with yourself. Start thinking more positively. Everything is fine. It's not about that.
It's not about that. It's, and it's I do think it gives you more insight and it makes you more empathetic. Your empathy really clicks in and you're like, wait a minute. Okay, wait, what can I do? And like, I'm thinking, like putting out there side by side. Yeah, I can go walk the dogs. Yeah, I can go climb in that ice bath, but what if we did it together? So the ice bath time, me and you, maybe we do walk the dogs 3 times a week, you and I. Maybe da-da-da. And I do think it's a beautiful way of healing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Healing your physiology together. Yeah. I think
if there's ever marital discord, it's always in the red. Oh, there's never been an exception.
Well, it's a physiology thing.
Because, and what happens is, and when both in that physiological state and both in fight flight, you're not problem solving.
No.
By any means. Because you can't. Not in the state
so now
to
you have,
do it.
You have data that feeds your empathy and understanding. I think if you approach it in that way, it's so powerful.
It is.
Like it's really, you could do it for yourself individually, yes. But I do think if you're in a relationship, that's very, very powerful.
You could also do it for families that also need healing.
100%.
Families that aren't connecting, families that where there's a lot of tension in the
children.
Room.
Right.
Yeah, yes. No one's speaking. Yeah. Everybody's holding everything and they're too scared.
And then
judged,
and you measure
feared.
Those young people, whatever it is, and they're sympathetic, dominant. The kid's not coping.
Yeah.
So it's not saying you're a bad parent. It's just saying that the loads in society are, so what can we do as a family to try and improve that physiology, you know?
And just one more thing about it. I mean, a lot of people come to us because they want to change their wellness, right? They want to change their whole lives. And a lot of it is also their bodies. They want to look better. They want to feel better, stronger, fitter, lose weight, gain muscle, all these sort of things. So surely this, having this test done can help you in many ways to lose weight.
So when you're in fight or flight and your brain is fatigued, you're not losing weight.
Sure.
Bottom line, you'll lose a bit, but you'll get stuck, and then you'll be despondent, and you'll change the diet, and you'll change the dietitian, and you'll change the personal trainer.
Yeah.
And
everyone else's fault.
That diet works better. I had a friend, she weighed 150 kilograms. She was also a doctor, worked in, she went on a diet, lost 20 kilos, did really well, and then just got stuck. Then came to me, and I said, well, let's measure you. Brain was like one, autonomic nervous system, one. I said, you know what? Let's just, so continue on your eating plan. Let's decrease your exercise by about 30%. And let's work on balancing, feeding your brain, balancing your autonomic nervous system. Just doing that, she lost another 40.
And the exercise, you say, because she was overtraining? So yeah. her body couldn't cope with inflammation.
Well, it wasn't actually overtraining. It's just saying that the training is not going to help if this is not in fact.
So the training became a stressor. Okay. By reducing it, the body could cope with a reduction. Mm. So then it became valuable.
Balance, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people do overtrain, or they think that every workout has to be really, really intense. So every day you have to be 100%, as opposed to today 100%, tomorrow 20%, the next day 70%.
Exactly.
And you can't train the same every day, and you can't give 100% output every day. There's recovery sessions, there's push sessions, like that. And a lot of people don't get that. So they don't lose weight because they're also full of inflammation. All of this stuff is happening to them. And then they go exercise more because they think, okay, well then I must train harder, you know. And then they're just making the problem worse the whole time.
So there's no energy. I mean, then you just high cortisol, depositing fat, you know, so more fat, less muscle because muscle's been damaged now because it's been broken down. It's catabolic, not anabolic. Mm. And therefore your metabolism goes down even worse. So you're now just going to this and you just need to correct the physiology and you can reverse all of that.
It's amazing. I mean, a lot of people get stuck. They get onto a plateau and like something's missing. Something's off with my program. I mean, this test could actually help them to get back on track, start seeing the weight loss again or the fat loss again and get back to their goals because they've hit this point of like where they can't go any further, but it's because they're not looking at a very, very important system in the body.
They're just throwing darts in the dark, you know, hoping something hits.
Yeah.
Look, incredible. It's amazing. I'm blown away. I mean, I've learned a lot. Guys, thank you so much, Tony. Always good to see you. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Costa. Welcome to the family. All right. It's incredible. And for people that want to do this test, we'll obviously have it on our website. It'll be under Plenty. Yeah. We'll have what's on the links, et cetera. And my understanding is to book a slot to come and do it at the studio. They simply have to –
we've got an initial test, and then you've got a follow-on test. So your initial test will take a little longer because you have to kind of explain everything, your report for the first time ever and a bit of history and a bit of banter back and forth. So that test is longer. And then you can come for a follow-up every 2 weeks, once a month, once every 2 months, whatever you can. The more, the better, I think. And then the follow-up test comes after that. Mm. And what we do is we will go through the report with you and try and put it in layman's terms, give you a cheat sheet, some basic advice. However, if you're wanting to go into way more detail with like a proper intervention plan with supplementations, dietitian's advice, what DNA test to do, like really you're very worried, you want to go a lot further, then we have another test, another reporting session with Carly. You can only do that session with Carly at this stage in her offices. And that can be on Zoom or in person, where she can go into way more detail with regards to a personalized intervention program. So the first is a test with a cheat sheet. And then the second test is either a follow-up test with another cheat sheet, you know, like that kind of thing. And just keep going almost a little bit superficial. Or you can really go deeper. And that's when you need to go and see Carly for an intervention program. She can toggle your diet. She can toggle your supplementation. She can send you for some bloods. She can also recommend a DNA test if you want to go a little further into who you are, you know. So, yeah, we've got like different things for different people.
Okay, awesome. So, and they can, again, calendar link, they can click, get their slot.
Easy peasy.
It'll be private. We have changing rooms where we'll do it. We've got yourself,
30 minutes
we've got
slots,
Carly, we've
but
got
it only
Tana.
Takes 4 minutes, but it's 30 minutes.
So
slots,
pop in and out, you got your results, and off you go. Awesome. Well, listen, blown away. This definitely makes me understand closing the circle.
Yeah.
I think DNA, you know, the eating plans, the rebounding movement, the lymphatic benefits and all of that. I mean, you can do all of those things if this physiology thing is not understood, you're just not going to complete it, right? You're going to always land up in areas that is just, you can't explain, plateauing, you're not getting improvements. I'm blown away.
Otherwise, you don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know. And
I
mean, look,
I remember, sorry, Steph, I remember after I saw my score the first time, I said to Dr. Costa, I said, I want to know what it's like to be a seven. I want to get there.
Beautiful.
And I want to, how different am I going to feel? Because I will. Because I really feel that's great. Beautiful. Yeah. I'm positive. Like I'm happy. Yeah.
So, me too. I'm
wow,
so
how
curious.
How much better am I going to feel? Oh, I'm a
I'm
seven.
A one. How, like can a you one imagine? Or two. Like we'll be how would seven air. Feel? I want to be a seven. That's my new goal. So instead of doing any other goal, like rebound, I don't care about any other goal. My absolute wellness mission now for the next 6 months is to get this on track.
Well, to be happy inside.
Yeah.
I want to help my body. I actually feel so sorry for my body.
I want myself to feel like I feel sorry for my body. I measure companies if they are happy or not. Are they joyous or not?
Yeah.
Because their physiology will tell me if they're joyous or not.
You know, when we talk about physiology, I always just think, like, biblically, I think your soul, your soul's made up of these subsystems, right?
Yeah.
It's who you are inside. It's the words and your history.
I mean, we talk about measuring different systems, but it's all one.
It's all one.
Yeah.
It's all one.
Beautiful, beautiful thing.
So what is your famous quote that you always end with?
Fix your physiology.
What I'll say, change your physiology, change your life.
There we go.
And then change the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Where science meets the soul. That would be my one.
That's why I say change your, I use the word change your physiology and not fix your physiology because fix always
negative.
Seems like this. Yeah.
No, something like is broken. Like you can finish it, but it's always a work, something that you're working on all the time.
Change,
You never fit.
Yeah.
You're always working on your fitness. You're like constantly on that makes a view.
I'm excited because it gives me another challenge. And a challenge that has a lot of like purpose behind it. I don't know. It's not, doesn't feel so superficial, like fitness, leanness, you know, it doesn't feel like that. It feels, oh my gosh, on a cellular level, like things are not okay.
No, it's taking you in.
Sure, it
you know,
is.
We try and solve stuff out there all the time to help us in that. You know, rather go in.
Yeah.
Because when you go in, that's where the wisdom really
happens.
Where the
real change happens.
Yeah. And people like, we're so confused because it's either keto, banting, or this exercise, or now we're doing that, or now we're doing this. And like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, do your DNA. Find out who you are genetically.
Do your vitamin.
Find out what's bothering you, what's happening inside your body. And then combine all these things. And then obviously rebounding is a beautiful low impact. Anti-inflammatory.
We've actually got it in our training manual.
You know, the lymphatic system is so important. Mm. It's just as important as arteries and veins.
Yeah.
And if you take the surface area of arteries and veins, and then you take the surface area of lymphatic system, it's actually double.
Wow.
Sure.
Wow.
So I'm going to do this with you now. This brainwash, but on a rebounder, guys. Wow. Let's do the brainwash on a rebounder. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Yeah. Hold the lobes like
that.
That
would be cool, actually.
Because then you're really helping to get rid of that lymph, that toxins, because your lymphatic system works like up and down.
Yeah.
And you're getting that acceleration and deceleration. And the lymph ducts.
Okay,
I think it could be so effective. Let's do it.
We got to end. So we'll put links in the comment in the podcast description where people can come and do it. Please, this is a great health investment.
Yeah,
this
amazing.
Is probably one of the best health investments you could ever make, I think. I mean, the ROI on this.
And it doesn't cost a million.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if it's so much cheaper than DNA testing.
Is that word again, hey, Dr. Costa?
Dr. Costa, yeah, exactly.
Okay,
guys, thank you. Thank you for listening,
awesome.
Everyone. That's another episode done. And hopefully,
this
is going to change lives, guys. Well done. Yeah. This is really going to change
lives. Let's make it a movement.
Yeah.
I think it already is.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks,
bye.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.